Welcome back. If you haven't already, make sure to download your notes so you can follow Steve, jot down some key ideas, and really absorb this important lesson. Now, here's Steve.
So the first part is the biological on the why. The second part is the psychological. Now, the science shows us that when you and I get dialed in on the psychological part, we start to understand the limits of their egocentrism. Now, I want to put this to you in the form of a story as well. Oh, we're talking 14, 15 years ago, when the Lakers were really good, and it's Father's Day, game 7. I got a room full of guys. We're all excited. The ball's in mid-flight with seconds left on the clock, and I'm going to say it up front. Thank God for TiVo and a digital recording device, because when that ball was in midair with seconds on the clock, my son walks in the room, grabs the remote, and changes the channel. I'll never forget that day as long as I live, because 14 men screamed, "Ah!" You would have thought they lost their minds, and all the moms came running in the other room. What's going on? Because they thought someone just got killed. And there's my little guy, you know, remote in his hand, and he's trying to, and he's watching Bob the Builder. So I go from the Lakers to Bob the Builder in like 0.3 seconds. But thankfully, I knew why. He's egocentric. He's right on schedule. He's developmentally right on schedule. So what do? I drop down on one knee and I say, "Hey, buddy, did you know that this is the adult TV and we're all here to watch adult TV?" "Yeah." "Mm-hmm. And can you be my helper? And can you go watch TV in the other room with your mom and all the ladies over there?" "But I don't want to, Daddy. I don't want to go in the other room. I want to watch Bob the Builder right now. I want to watch it in here with you. Daddy, why do all these people have to be here? I just want to go home. I just want to watch Bob the Builder." I got to tell you something. Those moments are not fun. And they're not easy. But when you know why, you're not embarrassed. You're not overwhelmed. You're not going to introduce them to Captain Hand. You're not going to put them in a timeout. You're not going to look at them and go, "Uh-oh, someone's making a poor choice. I don't know if I'd do that if I were you." You're not going to pull off your flip-flop and start reaching over and whacking them on the rear end either. Because now you know why. We've got an egocentric child who's not just unwilling, but he's unable to consider the views of other people. And a lot of parents get very overwhelmed with how bossy, how selfish, how egocentric their children are. They'll tell me, "I feel like my son's devil-possessed. He's got sociopathic tendencies, and he's right on his way to jail." And none of that's true, because that's when I tip my watch and I tap it and I go, no. He's right on schedule. And they look at me like, what do you mean, right on schedule? I'm like, no. The science shows us that your son is egocentric. He cannot even infer what others are thinking at this stage. And he's stuck. And that's why he comes across so indifferent, so selfish, so bossy, and so unwilling to share with other people. That's why he doesn't want to share his toys. That's why he says no in mine, because he's egocentric. And once you understand that misbehavior, you start to realize that has more to do with stress behavior, because the brain gets overwhelmed when the brain doesn't get what it wants. And of course, children like my son start crying, "Why can't everybody go home?" And they get overwhelmed, but we're not embarrassed because we know why. So we have the biological, we have the psychological aspects of why. Now let's talk about the social aspects of why. Now the bottom line is this: you and I have a parenting style, and I want you to think about this. Children, let's describe children as "let's have fun," and mom and dad are "let's get it done." And what ends up happening is when one "let's have fun" tries to interact with "let's get it done," it spells conflict every single time. But again, when you understand why, and you realize that children are all about "let's have fun," and they don't worry about the clock. "Hey, mommy, look at this. Daddy, let me show you how to tie my shoes." That used to be my favorite one. When they want to tie their shoes, it's like, "Oh my gosh, you're going to teach me how to tie my shoes. Oh, this is beautiful." Meanwhile, you know, you're on the clock and you got to get them in the car. But when you understand why, you know, you might be able to, you know, circumvent the situation, look them in the eye and put your hands on their face and go, "I want you to know something. I love you very much. And I got to tell you, I want to learn how to tie shoes as well. But how about I put you in the car right now, and later on when we get home, you can show Daddy all you want how to tie shoes. Can you be my helper and do that for me?" You'd be surprised how many times, folks, when you do that, your children will just jump in your arms and get in the car with you and not freak out about wanting to show you how to tie their shoes, because you've connected with them. So you want to make sure that your parenting style is not that of a dispatcher or military drill sergeant, or it's a waiter that you wait on them hand and foot, you want to make sure that your parenting style is in tune and in touch with the biological and psychological aspects of your child. And when you do that, you create the most ideal conditions for growth. I say it this way. I spoke at Saddleback Church last night, and I said, you know, your children are the goldfish, and you are the water. And when you parent a certain way, you create those ideal conditions for growth. You put a pH balance in the water. It's called your parenting style. And then your children start to glow like a beautiful, bright goldfish that they are. So you want to be a calm parent. You want to be an insightful parent. But I'm going to tell you right now that on the social level, if you're asking why, it's going to absolutely start to shift how you interact with your children. And you are going to create the most ideal conditions for growth. And you're going to be communicating to them that, yes, you're an authority figure. Yes, you have confidence, but you're also going to start developing a deeper sense of empathy, compassion, and understanding. And I promise you, there's going to be a natural shift in how you deal with your children because you're more dialed into why they behave the way they behave. And there's benefits here because when you ask why, you're clear about what's driving their behavior. And most importantly, you start to understand them and accept them even more. So I have a question for you, and here it is. Tell me something. What's going to happen? What's going to happen if you get crystal clear about the why factor in your child's behavior? I want to ask you, what's going to happen to your expectations? Are your expectations going to be in harmony with what they can deliver? Are your expectations going to be too high or too low? You see, because my guess is if you get dialed into why, your expectations, which is a major part of effective parenting, are going to be just right. They're going to get in harmony with what your children can deliver, and that's going to change the social aspects of how you raise your kids, number one. Also, what's going to happen if you get clear about the why in the area of discipline? My guess is you're going to get a lot more compassionate, you're going to be a lot more empathic, and your discipline strategies are going to be much more relational because you have a deeper sense of why. And again, how about the area of communication? If you get clear on why, I just wonder naturally what's going to happen in the ways you communicate with your child. You see, you don't need a lot of fancy techniques because when you get clear, you absolutely start to communicate with your children differently. Not only that, but here's another question. When you ask why, how much more relaxed are you going to be? How much less embarrassed are you going to be? How much more relational are you going to be when you're crystal clear as to why? You know, in just a few moments, I'm going to talk to you about that information product that I'd like you to go to my website and look at. And it goes into it in great detail. But I just want you today to think about right here, right now, what's going to happen when you get a clearer picture as to why. Think about that. All right, so let's move on. We've asked the why question. Now it's time to ask the what question. And let's go back to my example of having a child that doesn't listen, backtalks, throws temper tantrums. And again, before you respond, before you react, let's hear you try to help you try to respond. We want to ask what. What do I want my child to learn at this moment? You see, when you ask the what question, you immediately start to customize your parenting style to meet your child's needs so you can give that little person everything they need to become an independent little person who absolutely thrives. So now I want to tell you about a couple I met, and I'm going to name them Chris and Carol to change their names. And they had a 4-year-old named Luke. And they described him as a holy terror. And he was, you know, kicking, biting, back talking, not listening, bedtime battles, breakfast nightmares, picky eater. It was all over the place. And we met for about 10 hours over the course of a couple of weeks. And during my assessment, though, right out of the box, what I noticed is, and I asked them this, I said, you know, what do you want your child to learn? And the mom looked at me and she goes, real simple. I want him to behave. I want that bad behavior to stop. And I get that. I get that. And you know what I noticed about Chris and Carol? They were a wonderful couple, but they were really focused on correction instead of connection. And so what do I want my child to learn? I want my child to learn the right way to behave, which I get. And truth be told, I'm a behavior modifier. I teach this at college, and I could have them come in and teach my behavior modification class. They were that good at those parenting techniques. But what I started to help them realize is that their discipline was only focused on one component, and that was good behavior or removing the unwanted behavior. You see, the in-touch approach takes a little bit of a different stance. It goes beyond just getting the unwanted behavior to stop. And the challenge then is to look at Chris and Carol and say, look, guys, discipline, yes, we need to get the behavior to stop. But the in-touch approach would suggest that what we need to do here is try to teach our children these deeper life skills, these major life skills, things like emotional regulation, courage, risk-taking, sharing, cooperation, patience. Those are bigger life skills. And if all you're doing is managing the unwanted behavior, putting them in a timeout, verbally scolding them, giving them the look, we're not necessarily teaching them deeper life skills. So it's very important that your discipline has an element of teaching these major life skills. And when you and I discipline that way, we start taking the longer road approach. It's not always about just putting out the fire. You see, the in-touch approach, what we end up doing, and as I was teaching them, is I want you to look at your little guy like he's your disciple. And your job is to mentor him and disciple him and to model what life looks like in a warm, caring, empathic, all-accepting home. You know, they happen to be Christians, so I use Christian language with them. And I said, you know, you want to model for them what life looks like in God's kingdom. You want to model for them what it means to be chosen, cherished. You want to model for them what it means to be patient and kind and long-suffering. You want to model for them what it means to repair and model for them what it means to forgive one another. And so we talked a lot about that in that day and said, I want you to go home and start modeling for your child what you want him to learn. And what I want you to do is just spend all of your energy trying to accept that child and understand that child. Use and lead with your empathy. And oh my gosh, when they came back the next week, they were delightfully blown away. Carol says to me, well, not only did the behavior stop, but our relationship has changed, Steve, because my discipline strategies now are much more discipleship oriented. They're much more focused on mentoring. They're much more focused on teaching these deeper life skills. And she says to me, you know, I held him by the hand and I dropped on one knee and said, you know, hey, buddy, can you be mommy's helper? I know you're upset, but do we use our words or do we hit in this house? Well, we hit, mommy. Excuse me, hit. We use our words. She said, that's right. And then she looked at him and said, how did I get so lucky to have you in my life? I don't know. Well, come here for a minute. I just want you to know I care so much about you, and I just want you to be my helper. Can you do that for me? Can you start using your words more often? I'll try. And that whole week, the little Lukester, who was a little holy terror, started using his words more. Why? Because mom was trying to teach him these deeper life skills. And when he got dysregulated and when his brain got overwhelmed, she'd say to him, hey, come over here for a minute. Instead of putting him in a timeout, she'd say, it sounds like you're getting a little bit roughed up and pretty excited. You mind being my helper and just sit in my lap for a minute? And she'd just caress him, rub his back, give him a kiss, put him back down on the floor and off to the race he'd go. But he wasn't misbehaving anymore because she saw his misbehavior as stress behavior and she was reading him more accurately. And I tell parents this all the time, when you read well, you lead well. Okay, so we've asked the why. We're starting to ask this what question. And my guess is you need more examples. So think about this. Your child likes to talk back to you. You know, that's when you can say to them, hey, just because I like you, should I let you talk to me that way? Is that what we talk about in this house? See, what you're doing is you're modeling what warmth, kindness, and respect looks like versus, uh-oh, well, we don't talk like that in this house. Now get over there in that timeout, and then you go set the timer like all the behavior modifiers tell you. See, that's not teaching those deeper life skills. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not teaching those deeper life skills. Now, I'm reminded as I sit here right now about some of the couples I've worked with, Chris and Carol being one of them, and how really at the end of the day, I didn't tell you this part, they quit having to go to the principal's office because at their preschool, this guy was in the principal's office day in and day out. I'm also reminded of little Amanda, who was no longer throwing temper tantrums because mom and dad got dialed in on the why and the what factor. And I say that because I know you can do this. And if others can do it, I know as you're listening, you can do this. Because I know a lot of parents struggle with, well, Steve, you know, I'm not really good at parenting. Well, guess what? I'm here to help you. I'm on your team. That's why you're listening to this.
Thanks for listening. You've reached the end of this module. To listen to the next module, just click the email link we sent you when you registered. And by the way, be sure to check out Steve's 40-day home study program called How to Tame Tantrums Without Raising Your Voice. Simply go to www.intouchparenting.com/tame2.0. This unique program has been getting rave reviews from busy parents just like you. If you liked the information on this audio presentation, feel free to share it with your friends and post comments on sites like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.